The following program has been brought to you by Whole Foods Market. The more you know about our meat, the better. That's the bottom line at Whole Foods Market. Our standards require no added hormones and no antibiotics, ever. Our partnerships with farmers and ranchers allow us to offer the highest quality local and organic choices. And our newest program, the Global Animal Partnership's 5-Step Animal Welfare Rating, sets unprecedented standards in the industry for beef, pork, and chicken. Standards you can see, labeled, when you walk into our stores. Visit WholeFoodsMarket.com for more information on the 5-Step Rating, because hey, the more you know, the better.
Welcome to this afternoon's program of Unfiltered. It is Tuesday, May 3rd, and this is a live broadcast from Roberta's Restaurant in Brooklyn. And for listeners who are joining us today, please feel free to call in at 718-497-2128 with any questions. We have a winemaker who today will be joining us just after I do the weekend wine, but he just got off a plane from Austria, so we're so happy to have him here, and welcome your calls here at the studio. Brian DeMarco, my co-host, is traveling at the moment, so I have a lovely co-host also from the Barter House today, Emma Criswell, joining.
Hello.
Emma actually has some experience in radio, I believe, no?
Yes. Yeah. All through college, I anchored a local radio station.
Nice. Is there any particular subject of that station, or?
No, I just did the news. Basically, yep. Some advertisements, producing, okay. Whatever they needed.
Cool. Well, here's some news. The six-month-old startup Lot 18, which is reported to have closed 10 million Series B round shares, that's reported by the Business Insider. And I don't know whether or not you've been reading about any of these flash wine sales sites, similar to like a Gill Group or a Jet Setter, where they bring on wine for a limited period of time and at discounted rates. And so
we just had one of our wines on there recently.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. The Clos Vougeot, maybe?
Yes. Frère Sûr.
So they were already doing $1 million in sales, and they just raised another $10 million to take the site that much further, and are hiring about 35 positions. And
well, they already have so many people there.
Yeah, they do have a good team. Some of us, our friends, work there as well. Mm-hmm. So congratulations to them on that. And it's a tricky time in terms of the business, and knowing from a producer standpoint or from a sales standpoint how these sites are going to really affect people. But right. Certainly something to watch.
Absolutely. Good for Lot 18.
Yeah. So we'll introduce today our winemaker, who is here from Leo Hillinger, Edgar Brutler. Welcome.
Hi.
And also joining us, but will not be participating in necessarily the discussion, but is here for the support, is Erica Amster, also from the Barter House.
Hi, thanks, Erin.
Thank you. So welcome, Edgar.
Hello.
How was your trip over today?
Yeah, it was good.
It was all right?
I'm very excited. It's my first time on the radio.
Uh-huh. And online radio at that.
Yes.
Emma was telling me yesterday that there was a winemaker who had just arrived and had to spend about 2.5 hours in customs from the death of Bin Laden. And so all these people are on super high alert. So I was worried that you were going to be stuck in there as well.
It was not so bad.
It wasn't so bad.
No. He doesn't look suspicious at all.
Exactly. Although he is carrying a suitcase that has lots of color on it, so it's certainly true.
That's 20 years old, and I will travel always with this suitcase.
Nice. So tell us a little bit about your background and where Hillinger is located in Austria.
Okay, Leo Hillinger is located in the east of Austria, the Neusiedler See, maybe you know it. Mm-hmm. We are in the north part, and it's called Jois, the village.
Okay.
Yeah, and there's a new cellar. It was built in 2004. The winery exists from 1990.
Leo
Hillinger started in 1990.
Wow.
And 2004 was built the new cellar in Jois.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
How far is that from Vienna, south of Vienna?
That's 50 kilometers. Not south, it's more in the west.
More west, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's 20 kilometers from the Hungarian border.
Yeah. Nice.
That's where it's located.
And you've been with the winery for about 5 years, you said?
Yes, I studied in Germany, enology and winemaking. Mm-hmm. Winemaking and viticulture.
Viticulture, yeah. Uh-huh.
And yeah, since then, when I finished, I came immediately to Austria to Leo Hillinger.
Why is that?
Why?
Yeah, why did you come to Austria instead of Germany?
I was
Germany?
An internal, 2004. I was 6 weeks in the winery, and we were very good friends since mm-hmm. then with Leo.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, when I was ready, he called me if I want to have that job.
Oh, excellent. I have to say, I think I met Leo maybe 6 years ago when he was here doing a little New York tour as well. And had to say that, you know, it certainly made an impression, as I'm sure
Absolutely.
Emma
could attest to. Leo is quite the person.
Yep. But brought with him a whole slew of wines, had really sharp marketing. And again, that was 6 years ago. And I'd say he really was one of those Austrians that kind of created buzz, at least in the New York market that I know of.
Hmm.
Yeah. He's for me, he's not only a boss. We are friends all together in that whole company. It's mm-hmm. not like he's my boss and I have to look up, and we are discussing. He's not saying this is my way and you have to go that. We are discussing.
Yeah.
It's like being friends.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And do you and Leo share like a certain philosophy of winemaking that you could explain to our listeners as well? Or
yeah, it's the philosophy of our winery is we look for the customers that drink the wine.
Mm-hmm.
We have that terroir, you know, we have every single vineyard in the cellar separate, but we don't fill separate single vineyards except for Blaufränkisch.
Okay.
So we try to make harmonic red wines and crispy white wines,
mm-hmm.
good to drink and also good to store.
Hmm.
That's a philosophy.
Great.
And yeah, Leo and me, we have to discuss a lot because he has his opinion about wine and I have mine.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's a mix of it, mm-hmm. the wines.
Well, a little tension is good because it, you know,
it
creates this discussion where you end up always striving to do better. And
yes,
yeah,
we try to go on, we try to go far,
mm-hmm.
far on.
Mm-hmm. One question I had was, I've noticed that in Austria, there's been quite a few field blends that are being produced, especially in the Vienna city limits. What is your point of view on field blends?
Field blends.
Yeah,
Gemischter Satz.
Yes, gemischter Satz. Yeah.
That's a great thing because you have every vintage is different because the variety of the varieties
mm-hmm.
is every year another variety is. More ripe or less ripe, so you have always something different.
Yeah,
that's mm-hmm. the interesting thing about it.
And the opportunity to really lift up maybe a particular grape variety that wasn't as productive in one year or in one vintage and as another, so that blend ends up being a really sort of testimony to the characteristics of that vintage
and tradition also. It's mm-hmm. tradition and to keep it, not to be only one vineyard and the other is beside. It's tradition and should go on.
Yeah. Okay, good. Well, we'll try to support those here. in a couple articles I've read recently, which we were talking a little bit about before the show, some people have questioned whether or not 2011 is Austria's year in the U.S., and I don't know whether or not Emma or yourself can speak to that, but what do you think is driving this trend?
I think we have the varieties like Grüner Veltliner.
Mm-hmm.
It speaks for itself. It's only Austria. That's very unique. And this was a great introduction for the world.
Yeah.
And the second chance now is Blaufränkisch. It's... also unique. It's the style is made in Burgenland,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
you have it nowhere else. It's, you can't compare it to Bordeaux or to Burgundy, because when you look in the world, everybody's trying to make wines like Bordeaux or Burgundy.
Right, right,
right. And I think that's what's so great about
Blaufränkisch is something special.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think the people, the winemakers, will copy the Blaufränkisch style somehow.
Mm. I had I'm taking the American Sommelier Association class, and we had Austria last night and tasted Blaufränkisch and Zweigelt. And for a lot of people in my class, it was the first time they had tasted a lot of Austrian wines, and they just went crazy for them.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's such a, they're all such different flavor profiles than anything they're used to, like we're saying. And I think that makes Austrian wine really special. And the fact that it's starting to really make an appearance in the U.S. market is...
Yeah, also Zweigelt. I forgot Zweigelt.
Yeah.
Tell us about your Zweigelt.
Yeah, tell us about the actual characteristics of Zweigelt and Blaufränkisch in terms of their style.
Okay, in general, you could say Zweigelt is more charming.
Mm-hmm.
Blaufränkisch is more straight.
Okay.
But both varieties have the potential to make easy drinking wines, middle class wines, or heavy wines, which are used for barrels or even ice wine.
Mm-hmm,
you can
mm-hmm.
make everything from it. And
what fruit do you get in both of them that you identify with?
Yeah, Blaufränkisch goes the cherry fruit.
Cherries, yeah. Nice acidity, usually.
Cherries, nice acidity,
mm-hmm.
complex tannins,
mm-hmm.
but not fat in the mouth, straight. It's a straight wine. Zweigelt is more charming, less acidity, and yeah, you can also have hard tannins, not hard, more tannins.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a more charming wine, yeah. Easier to drink.
Yeah. And I imagine the trajectory for Austrian reds will be a little bit longer in terms of its growth than, say, something like the whites, the Gruner Veltliner, the Pinot Blanc, the Riesling, just in terms of getting around. I don't think a lot of people even necessarily know yet that Austria produces red wine.
Yeah.
Right.
So I know we have the Wines of Austria tasting tomorrow, which we had done a show about a couple weeks ago, and I imagine you will be there too, right?
Yes.
And it sounded like there were going to be more producers this year and more producers that were going to be bringing reds with them as part of their lineup. So something that seems like it's going to pop.
Austria is known for white wines, mm-hmm. but Burgenland and also other regions have great red wines because it's warm climate.
So Burgenland is warm in a sense in terms of context of Austria.
You would say it's cool climate.
Yeah.
But for Austria, it's warmer.
For it's warmer, okay. And that's what makes the reds that much more possible to
and
grow.
Red wine in a cool climate is so important because then you have the acidity and this gives the wine the aging potential.
And then the U.S. is now Austria's third largest export market, making up only about a tenth of what's sold in Germany. But what other... So it's Germany, I imagine you can consume a fair amount of wine in Austria itself, which I know after having visited there. And I've always been so impressed by the level of service and attentiveness and sort of quality that if you're in a guest house in the top of the mountain or in Vienna in a city and being served at a wine bar, it's always very, very well done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't find bad quality in Austria.
Mm-hmm.
Since the wine scandal, they have a strict, very strict... sorry?
Laws, yeah.
Uh-huh. Very strict.
Yeah, very I think it's the strictest in the world,
yeah.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about the scandal. I just learned about that last night.
Oh, and you don't want to hear that story.
Well, it was a while ago, too, no?
That's
yeah, it
true.
Was in the middle of the 80s, and they did a lot of bad things, so...
Do you think that people still reference it a lot in terms of understanding Austrian wine and it giving it a little bit of a harder obstacle to overcome?
Yeah, I think so. It's still in mind of the people.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the Austrian wine marketing does such a great job. They are very, very good, and I think it's the best collective marketing for our country in the world. Oh. They do so a good job.
That's interesting you say that, because it's always sort of been that Austria hasn't done as much marketing. So I guess this is a newer initiative.
If you look at the website only, there's so much things to explore and see. And
very informational, educational.
And this wine tasting here in New York and also in San Francisco, I think was last week. They do a very good job, especially the head, Billy Klinger.
Yeah.
He's a great guy.
And they do have a lot of, at least what the wines that Barterhouse imports, we have the best marketing materials on all of these. We have great maps, great winery info, photos, and it's all very accessible. And even the labels, correct me if I'm wrong, if it says Hillinger on the label, it's 100%, right? If it says Hill, it's a blend. If it has a cork, it's seen oak. And if it has the screw cap, the Stelvin cap, it's been stainless steel. Some of the questions that wine shop owners, restaurateurs, they ask, the sales reps ask all the time. Mm-hmm. And it's so nice to be able to just hold up the bottle and look at the bottle and know those answers.
Yeah. The look has to be easy and the wine has to be complex.
There you go.
Well, that being said, I know you brought three wines with you today. So before we get into tasting those, we're going to take a short break. So listeners, please stay tuned. This is Unfiltered on the Heritage Radio Network.
Is a public service announcement from Heritage Radio Network. Tune into The Food Scene Tuesdays at 3 p.m. on the Heritage Radio Network. Hosted by Michael Harlan Turkel, photo editor of Edible Brooklyn and Edible Manhattan magazines, he'll further explore the amalgamation of food and art by talking to artists from a multitude of media. Guests will range from photographers, food stylists, interior architects for restaurants, industrial designers, all the players that make you want to eat with your eyes. Get ready to feast your ears every Tuesday at 3 p.m. on the Heritage Radio Network.
Welcome back to Unfiltered. This is your host, Aaron Fitzpatrick, and I have a guest co-host today, Emma Criswell from the Barter House. And we're here today with Edgar Brutler, chief winemaker of Leo Hillinger. And so it's a full house, and Erica Amster, who's sitting quietly in the corner drinking a little wine. in the midst of that break, I just had asked Edgar a bit about his background. So, if you don't mind sharing with our listeners, it's an interesting story as to how you came to Austria.
Okay. That's a long story.
Well, yeah.
I can keep it
condense
short.
Condense it.
No, I was born in Romania. My family is original from Germany, the part of the Swabians.
Okay.
And they moved in the 18th century to Romania. This was before it was the Austrian-Hungarian monarchy. And they lived there. And my parents came to Germany in 82 with me. And because they escaped from the Ceausescu regime, it was not so good to live there.
Mm.
Yeah, and then we lived there in Germany and forgot about our wine tradition, because my whole family was wine making and had vineyards in our place in Romania.
Wow.
But everything was ruined then,
mm-hmm.
in that communistic time. And yeah, my father, he said, let's plant 1 hectare of vineyards there.
When was that?
That was in 1997.
Okay.
Yeah, and he did it just for fun in the beginning, and it was growing. And so I came to that wine thing too. So it was for me more a backdoor,
right,
to come in. Not the straight way that my grandpa was winemaker, my father was, mm-hmm, winemaker, and I'm a winemaker too. My first wine was, I think I drank it with 18.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then I was more and more infected.
So how are the 1997 vines that have been planted, how is that coming along now?
Yeah, my father planted 10 different varieties on that.
No way. Yeah.
He was just trying.
Yeah, seeing what was going to work.
Yeah, and now we have a winery with 16 hectares and planting 9 more hectares.
Any grape varieties that we would have heard of before that are
in these vineyards? Yeah, the most, you know, it's like Pinot Blanc, okay, Sauvignon Blanc. But also varieties from there, like Fetiasca Regale or something special. It's called Grünspitz, very old.
Uh-huh.
Mm. Yeah, and then I came to that wine thing and studied enology and,
cool,
viticulture, and that was my way.
Nice. Mm. And then what have you brought for us today?
Okay, the first one, Secco.
Yeah.
Then Blaufränkisch and Hill 1.
Hill 1, okay. The Secco is a beautiful color. I think this, yes, is the perfect season to just roll out with this. This is a sort of strawberry colored, yeah, sparkling Secco.
Yeah.
And tell us about this wine.
The wine is from Pinot Noir, mm-hmm, 100% Pinot Noir grapes. They are pressed immediately so that it has a lighter color, like the champagne style.
Mm-hmm.
Then we ferment it like white wine. And then we give it CO2 pressure,
mm-hmm,
and then it's filled. Yeah, that's easy. And the wine has a good acidity, a nice sparkling taste,
mm-hmm,
and yeah.
And the wine's very popular. I know Erica takes it to all of her friends' birthday parties.
Do you drink this much at home?
From the Secco?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
It's perfect wine for sitting outside in the evening or having parties.
The strawberry notes really come, yeah, through on the palate as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. We'll talk about the taste before we all drink it.
Mm-hmm. My glass is empty more now.
You want some more, dear? And also the Secco, they give €1 of every bottle purchase breast cancer research in Austria.
Yes. Yeah. That's
I saw that pink ribbon on that.
Project.
Mm-hmm. Ah, yeah. Nice. And when did you start that?
That was 2 years ago.
Uh-huh. So every bottle of the Secco has the pink ribbon on it.
Yes.
And and that's regardless of where it's exported to?
Sorry?
That's regardless of where it's exported to?
Yeah. That's €1 goes to the breast cancer charity project.
Excellent. Cool.
Okay. You got the Blaufränkisch?
Yeah, Blaufränkisch.
So tell us about this. We've gone over it a little bit.
This is our classic Blaufränkisch. It's fermented in steel. It has no oak. It's 09, I think. Yeah.
Yes.
This is one of my favorites from.
Yeah.
Mine. Uh-huh. I love the Blaufränkisch.
Okay, this. Yeah. 09 was a. It was a great vintage. It was, I think, yeah, the last 5 years, the best vintage.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
For our winery.
Yeah.
As I told you, Blaufränkisch is the next big thing from Austria, I think. From Burgenland.
Yeah. The red to watch.
Yes.
Yeah. And unoaked. It has a Stelvin cap closure. Unoaked. Easy to drink kind of young. You know, it doesn't necessarily need to be aged. It's something to enjoy.
You can
in its youth?
Yeah, it's you can enjoy it in the youth.
Mm-hmm.
Acidity doesn't mean that the wine is not enjoyable.
Right.
it keeps the wine fresh.
Would you say this one's better paired with food, or you can drink it on its own?
Yeah, you can eat ham, or you can eat cheese.
Okay.
Also with it, or
I don't remember actually when I was in Austria ever being at a winery where all of a sudden you pop something and there isn't just like saucisson and cheese and like everything right away just there, just like yeah, this is the good life.
That's also a great tradition from Austria, the mm-hmm. Heurigen. Mm-hmm. You go to a small cellar.
Yeah.
You get very good food for a very good price. Sausage, self-made.
Yeah.
With the wines from the house. That's life for them.
Yeah, exactly. This is delicious.
Mm-hmm. Very, very pretty dark color. It's not exactly a garnet, but got some purple notes to it.
Yeah. It's got some body to it as well. It does. Yeah. Yeah. Really soft tannins and juicy fruit. And the best news is these are all available in the market now. So, and then we have the Hill One.
Yes. So it's the blend.
Hill One. Vintage 07. It's 06. Sorry.
Okay. It's all right. So it's a blend of what exactly?
It's Zweigelt, Blaufränkisch, Syrah, and Merlot.
Oh, interesting. A little bit denser, a little deeper in color, yes. More purple. This one sees, how much oak does this see?
This is 100% new oak.
Okay.
Hill One is our, let's say, international cuvée.
Uh-huh.
But with that...
I assume that commands a higher price as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know how it goes here. But we have 60% of Zweigelt and Blaufränkisch inside, so our origin is inside too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Never forget those roots, right?
No.
Yeah. Really nice, rich.
Yeah, so Eric is telling me it goes about 75 in the marketplace.
Oh.
Yeah, 49
spoiling
wholesale.
Us today. Yeah.
Right? I brought the good bottles today.
Okay. Really nice. What in terms of aging this particular wine, just given that this is an 06, how much further would you age these?
Yeah, you know, aging is means the wine develops and you have to like an aged wine. It
right.
changes.
Yeah.
It's not that the wine stays always the same smell and the same taste.
Right.
It ages, it gets different aromes with mm-hmm. in 5 years or 10 years, and that's aging. And you can age this wine 20 years.
Really?
Sure, no problem.
Cool. Put one down for me, girls.
It will be another wine like in the beginning.
Uh-huh.
And if it has enough tannins, enough acidity, and enough fruit, you will have a perfect wine after 10 or 20 years.
Cool. Yeah. It's delicious. Yeah.
So it's got a lot more tannin on it, a mm-hmm. lot more of a spicy character.
Yes.
So I'm going to switch gears for a moment because I just wanted to ask you more of a personal question.
Oh.
So in terms of what you are inspired by or where in the world you might like to travel, or wine region or something like that that's piquing your curiosity, or just drinking bottles that you're in your hometown of a different region besides Austria, what is that?
My inspiration... I don't know if it only comes from wine.
Yeah, well, I figured that. You're a dynamic person, but...
if it's wine, my first inspiration was the wines from Germany, mm-hmm. like Mosel,
mm-hmm.
the Moselle. They are sweet wines, but
yeah.
for me, it's just... I had a good friend in studying time, and his father, he was crazy about these wines, and he just bought everything and... the best, and we were every weekend there and tasted wine with him. That was very inspiring for me too.
Mm-hmm.
It's about to make good wine. It's not a special region. It's the tradition of that region that can inspire you with wine.
Yeah.
Other things are friends,
Yeah.
Music.
Yeah. Tell us about you're going to be playing tomorrow night, I believe.
Thursday night at Maslow 6.
Yeah, we have a jam session.
Nice. Yes. What instrument do you play?
Now I play the drums in a band also. But yeah, my father hit me to play violin when I was 6.
Good for him. A little bit of both. Charm and the, you know, the wild side. Piano, guitar, I'm hearing. Okay.
He plays everything.
Awesome. Cool. Yeah,
so this Thursday, 7 to 9, he'll also be there with Cristiano, who is the buyer from Seagrape. He'll be playing guitar, I believe.
Big shout out to Cristiano.
Yes. We love Cristiano. Mm-hmm.
We practiced in February in Austria. Very funny evening.
I'm sure.
He came to my house. He saw that guitar. I was not at home. He came with Michael, our salesman. In my house, he saw that guitar, just took it and played, and I sat beside him with my cajon, and we started, and it was the whole evening.
Yeah, and here you are 2 months later, ready to jam out in New York City.
And then Erica said, you have to do that in New York, too.
Uh-huh.
Of course.
Well, welcome. Thanks so much for joining us today on the show.
Thank you very much.
And for our listeners, tomorrow the Wines of Austria tasting is from 6 to 9 at Tribeca Rooftop. And they've offered Heritage Radio listeners a discount code of $20 if you enter the promo code unfiltered in the box. Again, Edgar Brutler from Leo Hillinger and Emma Criswell.
Yes, thanks for having me.
Thank you for joining.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Pleasure. Bye. Yes. Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening.